was just wondering, how do you go about forgiving an in-law that cried during your ceremony and having to omit part of your traditional wedding ceremony for fear she'd actually speak up and come up with a reason that we weren't able to get married?
Did you hear that? I mean, did you hear what she said? A mother-in-law at a wedding crying because she didn't want her son to marry this woman, wouldn't participate in the unity candle lighting? We're talking about in-law problems today and challenges about being intentional and doing it God's way. Maybe you want to weigh in on, let's be helpful. We can just rag on people, but today, how do we really be helpful in terms of being intentional in the in-law relationships when they're tough? What do you do? Maybe you got a question, you want to weigh in with a one thing, intentional thing that you're doing, give us a call, 888-888-1717. Welcome to Facebook Live, friends who are joining us from around the world. You can post a question. Gina will make sure I get to see it here, or a quick comment. The shorter the better, because I'm more likely to read it that way, right? So just a quick comment. We'll try to read those. But you can call me as well at 888-888-1717. Jessica's call was a little hard to hear. I want you to listen to it. Here's the full call. And maybe you have a story that can get beyond this one, but I'll tell you what. If at your wedding, your mother-in-law is crying about her son marrying you, you're in trouble. That's not a good way to start. But what do we do and how do we be intentional with in-law relationships? Take a listen to Jessica.
Hi, I was just wondering, how do you go about forgiving an in-law that cried during your ceremony, refused to do the traditional mothers, do the unity ceremony of your wedding, and having to omit part of your traditional wedding ceremony for fear she'd actually speak up and come up with a reason that we weren't able to get married? She seems to have moved past it, but I have not. And I'm just looking for more advice on that.
You know, this topic today, Jessica, thank you for leaving that comment with us. This topic today requires all of Scripture to be applied to our life. Forgiveness, understanding, communication, leaving and cleaving, understanding God's intention for family, about everything we ever talk about. It comes down to this, because on the day that you got married, and you stood in front of that church and before the pastor, and the two of you shared some vows with each other, there was a whole pile of other things going on. All those other people who were there, not there, standing with you or not standing with you, on your side or not, opposed or supportive, your history, his history, your memories, their memories, all come to play. You bring everything to the front. And is it any surprise when you think about 40% of roughly first marriages end in divorce? And in-laws can be a part of that. It really can. I've seen it over the years, worked with enough people to know that can be an issue. So here's the question. If we're believers, we're Christians, we want to do this right, what's a question? What can I help you with, or what's working for you when it comes to being intentional with your in-laws? 888-888-1717 is the number. Love to have you come and join us. And I'm going to come back a little bit throughout this program and reinforce one point. When the Scripture talks in Genesis chapter 2 about leaving and cleaving, we got to understand what that means. And there's a whole bunch of things going on in that verse that are really important to understand. And we're going to get to that in just a minute.
Hi, I'm calling about in-laws, and I wanted Randy to really hit on this topic about mother-in-laws who do not let go of their sons, especially when they still have a bank account with them and will not resolve of it. And what do you do as a spouse? I mean, how do you love that individual? How do you go around that individual, and how do you respect your husband as a man when all you see is a child?
That's painful. You know, I was just thinking as she was sharing that little story with us, there ought to be something in the ceremony when we get married that's also a decoupling process. And I've heard pastors talk to the parents, but there's a lot of emphasis on the couple and your love for each other and standing together. And that's good. We need that. But there should also be a time where we turn to the in-laws on both sides and say, hey, I want to say something to you. And then really talk about what is the role and relationship with in-laws toward their person they love, their family member, when it has to do with marriage. And it does come back to this thing of leaving and cleaving. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 2:24, and it's right after the creation of man, and then God said it's not good for man to be alone, and he takes from man woman, and there's the creation of woman. And he brings woman to man. And then he says, now bone of bone, flesh of flesh, she shall be called woman, taken out of man. And then verse 24, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. And the picture there is there's the constitution of this new family. There's a constitution of this couple. And it doesn't mean that we're going to negate the relationship with in-laws. I mean, we have fantastic in-law relationships, and we're thankful for it. But we have three children that now have three. They're each married. They have three families. And our role is to support them to be successful in that relationship that they're in. That's our number one priority. Not about us. It's about them. And I really believe if we had that attitude, it'd make a big difference. I'd love to have you come on in and join us, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Have you ever been blindsided when it comes to a relationship with an in-law? Russell was. I want you to hear a little bit of his call. We'll comment on it in a minute.
I took my father-in-law to Israel at dinner on our last night. He told me he's never liked me, that he just put up with me to make his daughter happy. By the end of it, he threatened to take me outside and beat me up. I was completely blindsided because I thought I had a very close relationship with him.
Wow. I thought, what, 10 years? I thought I was getting along fine with my father-in-law, and now he wants to beat me up in Israel. Maybe you feel like that, being blindsided. Russell, we're going to come back. I want to hear the rest of that call, comment on it, and then we're going to take your calls. Your calls are coming in. Questions and comments. Let's be helpful. Let's be intentional. 888-888-1717. Live on Facebook. You're welcome to comment or call 888-888-1717 if you're listening on the radio.
Intentional love can transform a marriage.
We have been able to put aside our selfishness and really put each other first, and that has really made a difference.
Natasha and her husband have experienced firsthand the power of intentional living. Put the power of intentional love to work in your marriage. The Intentional Love Marriage Date Night is November 8th and 9th in Mesa and Glendale, November 16th in Tucson. Go to theintentionallife.com.
Are you energized or drained by the people you hang around with? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. If you're energized by being with people, make sure you intentionally schedule alone time for yourself, for personal growth and reflection. You know, being with other people is a great thing, but at times we need to pull away and reflect. Even Jesus did that. If on the other hand, you're drained by people, guard against the tendency that you'll want to pull away from relationships and friendships and become a loner. It's something that we can gravitate into, especially if we tend to be an introvert. Find that balance. Too much of anything is not healthy. Too much friendship and too little friendship can create a problem in your life. So to find health, find balance. And when you do, that's intentional living.
Go to theintentionallife.com/minute to get the Intentional Living Minute in your email every day.
Yeah, and I hope you'll do that. We'd love to send it to you. We video record these every month, 60 seconds every day, goes on the radio, goes online, and we'll email, as Kurt said, we'll email one right to your email box every day. Just go to theintentionallife.com/minute. Love to do that. If you just joined us, we're talking about in-law relationships. If you're married and you want to have good in-law relationships, you got to work at it. But it's a two-sided thing. The in-laws have to work on it. You have to work on it, because any relationship that ends with the word law could be problematic, right? I mean, just by nature of the differences in the history. Because here's what happens. You chose your spouse. You married them. But your family didn't also choose them necessarily. And that can create tension. And boy, when you see in-law relationships work, it's a beautiful thing. when they know their boundaries and living the boundaries and loving through the boundaries. And when it doesn't work, it's destructive. And you just heard Russ. I want you to hear the rest of his call from Texas, because this guy really got blindsided. Maybe you've felt the same way at some point in your marriage.
I have had a close relationship with my in-laws for the past 10 years of my marriage. This past April, I took my father-in-law to Israel on a biblical trip. And while there, at dinner on our last night, he basically told me he's never liked me, that he just put up with me to make his daughter happy. And obviously the conversation escalated quickly. And by the end of it, he threatened to take me outside and beat me up. I was completely blindsided because I thought I had a very close relationship with him. And I just don't know how to repair that relationship. I mean, it's hurt me, and more importantly, it's hurt my wife, and was just seeing how I can repair that relationship.
Wow, Russell, listen, I'll tell you where that went south. You guys were in Israel, and for whatever reason, his defenses were dropped enough for him to be honest with you after 10 years. And he blindsided you. I don't know what he said, but it was enough to rile you up, and your emotions got hijacked. That's what I write about in Hijacked Emotions. Your emotion got hijacked, and understandable. I mean, here's your father-in-law saying, I never liked you. You know, hello, where'd this come from? You know, and so then you got riled up. Your emotions get hijacked. You get back in his face. One thing leads to another, and boom, there you are talking about, let's go out back and have a fight in Israel. Not a good idea, by the way. Now, you can't go back and change what happened, but at that moment, it would have been the right thing to do, and I know it's hard because our emotions are our emotions. The right thing to do is say, wow, I really got blindsided. Can we talk about this? I mean, maybe not tonight, but tomorrow. I'd like to really understand what's going on. Because sometimes in the heat of the moment, that's not the time to talk about meaningful things. When emotions get hijacked, you kind of get overtaken by the emotions. It should happen later on. Now, here's what I encourage you to do. Somebody's got to be the big person in these relationships, the mature person, because the weakest person controls a relationship. And if you can be the big person here, to go to your father-in-law and just say, hey, you know, I am sorry that when you said that to me in Israel, that I reacted the way I did. Will you forgive me? Now, maybe he will, maybe he won't. But if he does, then to say, hey, then can we talk about that? You know, where'd that come from? Why do you feel that way? You're doing that for yourself. You're doing it for your spirit. You're doing it for your wife. You're doing it for your marriage. You're doing it for your kids. And you know what? Your father-in-law may not change at all. He may just be who he is, and you're going to have to love him despite. But right now, you got this thing where everybody is kind of walking on eggshells. So if you can be the big person, you think you're going to do that, I encourage you to do it. I think that could be a very helpful thing. You're welcome to join in. We got a lot of calls we're going to get to in a moment. 888-1717.
One of the more serious issues happens to be with drugs. Here lately, a couple of months ago, one of my brother-in-laws needed a place to stay, so we offered our home to him, and we set down the guidelines that no drugs, no alcohol, and you cannot smoke inside the house. After he left, about a week or so ago, we found out that he was bringing drugs into our home. And we just don't know how to deal with these issues and how should we respond to that. I mean, it's just killing both of us.
Well, you know, I'd like to hear more of that. But what I think I heard you say was he was with you, lived with you, completely violated your reasonable rules. And later you found I lied to you, but now he's out of the house. I think that's what I heard. Because if he were in the house, I'd say you're going to be out of the house. That isn't the way we're living. But the fact he's out of the house, he probably got a drug problem. I mean, this is what, let's face it, that's what people that have a drug problem often do. That's why they have a problem. And so I would look at trying to help him if he can to deal with the problem in his life, if he's open to that. If not, you're just going to be clear to say, hey, when you were with us, you didn't tell the truth. So when he comes and asks the next thing from you to trust him, to give to him, you say, hey, no. I mean, last time we found out later, you lied to us. You get some help. We're here to help you. We want to help you, but we're not going to just bend and cave because, you know, you want to do this. It's not going to happen. All right, let's get to the calls coming in from around the country. Chad is first from Arizona. Chad, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Randy. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's your question?
Well, in my marriage, we have my wife's mother is physically disabled and doesn't make enough money for disability to live on her own. So we've taken care of her for the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And since it's my wife and I and two teenagers, she has got some really bad habits. My house serves the Lord. She does not.
Mm.
We had trouble filing our taxes in 2017, and they wanted us to verify our ID. We went through a bunch of hoops. We still didn't get it. And last week, we got a letter from the IRS saying that we're being audited for 2017. And what's happened is the mother-in-law stole her identity, filed taxes, got $6,000 back, didn't tell us about it, and now the IRS wants that money back plus 3 years' interest.
Wow.
Which is going to come to around $12,000 that we have to pay. Now,
that's more than a bad habit.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
I thought you were going to say, you know, she didn't change the toilet paper roll or she didn't put her dishes in the sink. You're talking about she broke the law.
She broke the law. And the discourse between my wife and I is my wife just tells me, pray for the spirit that's on her. Pray for the spirit that's on her. And I'm trying to, I can't, it's hard for me to grasp something that happens that dramatic and not have some kind of discipline involved. Otherwise, how would she learn?
Yeah.
That's my mindset.
Yeah.
My wife's mindset is she's made it clear to me we will never have a life where we are not taking care of her mother.
Yeah. Well, you're upset. And your mother's and your wife is showing, and she's showing compassion, so you're kind of stuck thinking I'm not being very compassionate.
Right.
Hey, listen, she filed, according to what the IRS is saying, it sounds like she filed a tax return illegally, and now you got things you got to work through and take care of. That's not a bad habit. Bad habits, I was ready to say, hey, you've got bad habits, you deal with it. You love your mother-in-law, and you kind of adjust what habits are good and what are bad, and these we won't accept these, but these are okay. But mom, we love you, but it's not acceptable for you to file a tax return in our name, period. And there's consequences for it. And whatever they are, I don't know, whatever the legal consequences are, those have to be dealt with. And if you can help work those through with her and so on, that's one thing. But you and your wife need to be, in my view, you guys need to be on the same page. If this is a long-term arrangement, I'd want to know, why is mom doing that? What's going on? And what are other things that we need to be a part of? Mom, if you're going to be here, we love you. We're going to care for you. But this stuff isn't going to happen. These are not bad habits. I think you need to redefine the problem. Because if you're using the word mom's got some bad habits, she crossed the line into something bit more than a habit. And I'd just lay it out with your wife, Chad, and I'd get it on the table. And I would deal with this in whatever loving, compassionate way you can, but it's got to be, hey, this is not going to continue. You just can't. Man, we fully understand that. That's a difficult thing. I don't know if that helps, but I think you and your wife got
to
look.
The bill.
Yeah, exactly. And it may be something you have to do. I mean, I don't know your circumstances when it comes to all that, but I do know this. I would change it from being a habit to, hey, mom violated the law here. And we got to deal with what's going on in mom's thinking. And if mom's going to be here, how are we going to do this? That's not unloving, by the way. That's a loving thing. Okay, let me go to Andy with a comment today about leaving and cleaving, apparently. Hi, Andy.
Hi there.
Appreciate your call. What's your comment?
My comment is when my son got married at the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah.
My wife and I walked up to the head table where they were, and we opened up a wrapped present with an apron. We took the apron out, and my wife took a pair of scissors out of her pocket and snipped the apron cords and presented the apron with the cords to my daughter-in-law, signifying that we were basically transferring the responsibility of parents to them as husband and wife.
That's good. You like that?
It worked very well.
Man, we should create those aprons, and you could send them out to everybody getting married, and both in-laws could come and present those and cut those apron strings. I love it.
Just the idea of not only saying it, but having the apron there, it was a tangible thing.
Yeah. And how are they doing? How are you guys doing?
We're doing fine. Unfortunately, they are divorced, but he is remarried, and the marriage that he's in now, he has carried that principle with him. and they're doing fine.
Yeah. Well, what you know, though, is that at least in that marriage, based on what you said, you didn't play a role, a negative role in that. And boy, when that happens, well, it's bad. All right. Thank you, Andy. Let me get Kimberly on in Michigan with a comment. Hey, Kimberly.
Hi there.
You had our original caller, for those who missed it, Jessica, had a mother-in-law who cried at the wedding about her son getting married to her.
Yes.
And you had a similar situation?
I didn't have it like that, but I've been married with my husband for over 30-some years. My mother-in-law's never really cared for me.
From the start?
She's tried to put on a good face, but sometimes she's made things very difficult. And just until recently, and I kind of was trying to throw some advice at this woman because recently, I mean, it took me over 30 years.
Did we lose your call, Kimberly? Oh, go ahead. Your call's coming in and out. What was your advice?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, right now. Mm-hmm.
To the woman that gets hurt by her mother-in-law, I've been married for 30 years, and it's just not worth it anymore to let my mother-in-law hurt me because it hurts her son, too.
Yeah.
And I just prayed one day, and God just told me, you know, I love her just as much as I love you, Kimberly. And that meant a lot because I'm like, you know what, I have to respect this woman and I do care for her, but I don't have to let her hurt me anymore. So I just kind of put some space between her and I speak to her and I'm grateful and respectful to her, but it's helped me. Instead of slamming a door and telling her, I don't want you anymore, I've just kind of stepped back a little bit and went, okay, I don't have to get hurt every day by you.
I hope everybody heard that. She's just basically saying some boundaries, and I think that's a healthy thing to do. Wouldn't it be beautiful if families and the in-law relationships just work so smoothly? And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. When they don't, it really tests our faith, tests our Christian belief, and our intentionality. Boy, you know, we were talking about Hijacked Emotions, a new book that I just wrote. What we're hearing is a series of people getting hijacked emotions. That's what happens in these relationships. Boy, we want to honor God, get started right. If you got a problem, deal with it if you can. And as the scripture says, to the extent possible, live at peace with everyone. More coming up in a minute.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Randy Carlson, inviting you to get away to get close to God's creation. Book your cabin now for the 2020 Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska. Breathtaking destinations and beautiful scenery await you on this unforgettable travel experience. Enjoy spiritual renewal and build lifelong memories. Join my wife Donna and me for the 2020 Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska. To book your cabin, go to theintentionallife.com.
Somebody did the research, I don't know who, but they came up with the fact that over a lifetime, you and I will probably make about 1.9 million decisions in our life. That's about 70 every day. Well, that's true. What are you going to eat? What are you going to wear? What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? And we make a lot of decisions. But there will be only a few decisions that we're going to shape your life. There's only a few that are really, really important. And what I find interesting when we think about decision making is many of us have given more time to the, what I call these many daily decisions, than we do to making the important decisions. Some people make more time to figure out where they're going to go on a vacation than where they're going to go for eternity. Mm-hmm. Boy, that's true. That's an excerpt from Your Decisions Matter, the teaching for members and supporters for this month of October. It'll be coming to you monthly, members. Thank you for your support. If you're on the list for monthly receiving the CD, it'll be coming to you. For everyone today who joins, those who joined last week as members, or if you share a gift with for the ministry, single gift today, and ask for it, we'll send it to you as well. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. and click on donate. We'd love to send it to you. A couple things. The Intentional Love Marriage Date Night is going to be in Phoenix and in Tucson in November, November 8 and 9, and then in Tucson on the 16th. Love to have you come. We're going to have a great time. We're going to celebrate marriage, laugh, and learn. And tonight, you know, that night, we will touch on this issue of in-law relationships because that's a part of it. And we'll show you how that can work better for you. Love to have you come and be a part of it. Come on in. We have people looking from all over the country, maybe even to make a vacation. Come to Phoenix or Tucson in November. Go to theintentionallife.com. Okay, Donna's in Michigan. Donna, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. Thank you. We've got about 2 minutes, but what's your comment? I want to hear it.
I have been married for 33 years. Probably the first 8 years of my marriage was a struggle. When my husband told his parents that we were going to get married, his mother said, no, you're not, and I'm not coming to the wedding. I told my husband, I prayed, and I just said, you know what, you're the only son and you're the baby. They're going to be there. They did come to the wedding, but it was strained, and it was strained for many years. But I had to just talk to her and be kind to her.
Wow.
And just basically just live Christ in front of her for 8 years until finally she came around. You know what? 33 years later, we have the best relationship. She is my mom, and I love her to death.
Isn't that something? Now, that could have gone a different direction, Donna, and you know that.
I do know that.
And you had
I thank God every day for her.
And you had the power. You did. You had the power when she didn't want to come to your wedding, and when obviously very disrespectful and all of that of you and of her son. But you took the high road. You were the mature one. You were the one that says, I'm going to love her. I'm going to be kind to her. What does the Bible say? Don't pick up a root of bitterness. You know, think about that. There's an opportunity. Talk about a root of bitterness. Your mother-in-law says, I'm not coming to your wedding. Hello. I mean, it'd be very easy to pick up a root of bitterness at that moment. You didn't. And you just loved her with kindness. And 33 years later, she's your mom, best friend. I know. That's it. I can't think of a better way to end the program, Donna. Thank you for weighing in from Michigan today. Love to have your comments on this. Our comment line is open, right? 888-888-1717. And you say, hey, I missed part of the program. You're welcome to listen to it again on demand. Just go to theintentionallife.com where you can stream it. We have our archives of all of our past programs, and that'll be on there a little bit later today. Or you can go wherever you find your podcasts. And you can just have it there. It'll be on your podcast as well. So that's it. Thank you, team. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it. Steven, good job back there, my friend. And Gino, running Facebook. Thank you for our friends on Facebook today as well. We'll see you all next time right here from the Intentional Living Center. Maybe on in-laws, maybe not. But we'll be talking about intentional living for sure. See you then.